Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Bob Barber, your host here on SAT Radio. Tonight, we're going to have some question answers. If there are, after we finish question and answer, then we'll go on to the pre-recorded law class for tribal courts called the Carino Case Number 2. It follows Carino case last night by Judge Naidu. I was part of that class, and we're replaying these pre-recorded law classes, young lawyers to become lawyers in tribal courts. So, do we have any questions? Do we have any comments? Do we have any suggestions? Just press 1 if you'd like to say something. If not, I'll just go ahead and play Carino Case 2. We have a question.
I apologize for that.
Go ahead. That's all right.
Me?
Are you gonna ask
okay.
A question?
Yeah, I apologize
ahead.
For that.
That's all right.
Basically, I wanted to get started in the program for monetizing my birth certificate. I understand that it's a price of $250. And then I think it's another, what, $2,000-something afterwards?
Well.
Am I correct?
What are you reading, sir?
I basically wasn't reading anything. I was just listening to the previous recorded classes off of the website from the, I think that's law classes? Or classes,
well,
period. It was just.
Yes. As far as hearing prices and things of that sort, in these pre-recorded law classes that I'm playing here, I wouldn't pay too much attention to those, okay?
Okay.
Because the current entry is $500 plus $15 for the other side bank fee. And the $2,000, I have no idea what that is. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
The only thing we have anywhere near thousands is our tribal membership, to where when you pay $8,000, you get full paid membership, or you can go $65 a month any way you do it. Okay,
okay.
Be a member of the tribe. All right, and go right ahead. Go to monetizeclb.org. You've been there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been,
just
I've been
go
there and a couple other websites.
Right. Get into monetizeclb. Bring in as many members as you can. And then if you bring in the most, your name will be at the top of the list when we get one. Just kidding.
Okay. I mean, I'm not really. I just caught that. There's a joke in that in and of itself, but. You, wow.
but
away from the list, though, seriously. Away from the list, what I want to do is, without any recognition at all, actually, I would like to take and join the program for monetizing the birth certificate and get started with that so that once anything is, I guess, released or done with that, then I'll be able to afford, for example, the law classes and become a full tribal member. You understand?
Yes. Yes. How did you hear about Monetize CORB and what turned you on to it?
Actually, a friend of mine was talking. We've had some discussions on just law, nationality, becoming a sovereign citizen, and he turned me on to this website. He might be even listening right now, but I know him. He ain't gonna say anything. But that's what had happened. He turned me on to it sometime last week.
That's cool. Really.
And it seemed like a very noble thing. I've listened to some of the arguments that the judge said. I even ordered some of the books that he's quoted so I could go to some of the, you know, statutes and you know, take a look at it, the evidence that he brings.
That's cool. I think you're going to do well in the law class then.
Okay.
Yeah. And good luck. Just get in there and get signed up. And once you get signed up, you'll be part of us. You know what I'm saying?
No problem.
All right.
Thank you.
Anybody else have? Yes, thank you. And what's your name?
Stuart.
Stuart, okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments? All right, since no one else has any questions or comments, I'm going to play Carino Case 2 so I can hear the second part of this. Here we go.
Now, you've seen all the documents that were posted today, right? We're going to continue on the Carino case, but then there's a Native American bibliography out there, Grasping the Essentials, and also original Indian title, a good essay on this subject.
Good morning, America.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Howdy.
Yeah. I had a reason to suffocate you with that information. Because if you want to be a lawyer, you got to be able to think, react, respond from both sides of your brain. I know someone was saying in a nice way that, oh, there's too much to absorb. Hey, when you grasp the essentials, everything will fall in place. Just simple as that. So that's why I sent out that little thing I wrote up. Grasp essentials. Now, one of the most important things before we go into Carino is you must establish the premises. This is why right in the beginning, many, many years ago, I researched, studied the law, and I came up with the special appearance. They cannot arrest you and throw the handcuffs on you until they physically find you, right?
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
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 So why make it easy for them to find you? Oh, yeah, okay, they'll issue a bench warrant. Okay. They'll issue a warrant of arrest just because you're $2 light bulb is not working. But don't give them jurisdiction. That's the key. Now, I know millions of people in America who drive without a driver license, but an international driver license. They have never had any insurance. They have very careful drivers. They may have been hit, but they never hit anybody. Why? Because they understood never to give jurisdiction to the squatter government. You see, so that's why Williams versus Lee is very important to you as an employee, as a homeowner, as anybody contracting with the squatter government. Now, Williams versus Lee is very clear. It was a groundbreaking, one of the most fantastic decisions ever made, where they said, if an Indian is contracting with a non-Indian on a reservation, then tribal court jurisdiction is supreme. Period. No ifs, buts. Oh, yeah, but this didn't happen in a reservation. It happened in an office. Look at 18 U.S.C. 1151. The entire continent is Indian reservation. Hello? And then read the Kramer case. Read the Carino case. Huh? What does that tell you? Native title does not need a constitution or legislation. The Spaniards were here before the Irish, Scottish, Protestant settlers, squatters, colonialists came here. And what did the Spaniards do in the Southwest? They issued land titles. Why? Because they obeyed the 1537 Sublimus Dues by Pope Paul, which said you have to regard and respect and recognize, acknowledge native title. Now, why did the Pope say that? Can anyone tell me why the Pope said that?
To negate the doctrine of discovery, which the subject can grab whatever you want.
Okay, but let's keep it narrow. That's broad. Why did the Pope, now he's the head of the church, why did he say what he said? Anyone?
No.
Scripture has the answer.
Leviticus, right.
Leviticus 25:23. Yes. This land shall not be sold forever. For you are aliens and strangers upon it. So that's why the Pope said what he said. Now, the Pope said what he said because Victorio Franciscus de Victoria had already written about native land, and he is the ranking father of international law. So they went back into time. They were afraid to use the word usucapion, maybe because their families would have died. Like some idiots, they don't want to say God because they will drop dead. They will say supreme being, the creator. Okay, so be it. They never use the word usucapion. You see? So I want you, someone has something to say?
Now people are announcing themselves, I should turn off the bells.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Well, how many do we have today?
20.
How many?
27.
Good. That's a sizable lot. So everybody has a copy of Grasping the Essentials. You got to have a copy of Original Indian Title. It's only a couple of, 15 pages?
33 pages.
Well, I halved it because the most important things are only in 15 pages. You see, when you grasp the essentials, you don't memorize every comma, every semicolon, and every period. You grasp.
Okay.
Kramer. You grasp the Hualapai case. Hualapai Indian case. And that's what Original Indian Title was all about. Written in 1947 by Felix S. Cohen, who authored the great book, A Handbook of Federal Indian Law. Till today, the Bible. The Holy Grail. Of federal Indian law. Now, when you grasp tribal jurisdiction, when you grasp the essence of native title, when you grasp the essence of Carino, when you grasp the essence of Kramer, you will understand that that is the settled law of the land. Admittedly, understandably, regrettably, the state courts and federal courts will not listen to you. Why? Why will the state and federal courts not listen to you? Anybody?
Police powers.
No.
That's one.
It'll take all their land away from them.
That's two. Come on, everybody. Why will the state and federal courts not listen to your argument when the law is on your side? Why?
They consider you dead.
They can what?
They consider you dead.
They can sell you dead?
They consider you as a dead person.
I think also because it's not in favor for their win.
It's not
profitable. I'm looking for the right answer. Why?
They don't recognize the human. They recognize the fictitious person.
Manifest destiny.
Okay, manifest destiny is good.
They don't consider you to have standing.
They don't consider you to have standing is good. But what is the core issue here? Why would the state and federal courts not obey the law? I'll give you a clue. Who are they obeying?
Mandate.
Thank you. They are obeying Wall Street. As a great man called John R. Talbot, who wrote a great book, 86 Lies That Wall Street Tells You. If you can find that book, please look at page 6, where they tell you how the Supreme Court, how the federal courts, how the state courts, how the White House, and how the idiocrats in Congress are all owned by Wall Street. Give you an example. We are still going to talk about Carino. This is just an anybody familiar with the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act? Otherwise
yes,
known as the Dodd-Frank Act?
850 pages.
My question is, are you familiar with it?
Yes.
Okay, 855 pages. Tell me in less than 20 words what it says.
Well, on foreclosures, you have a right for recoupment. I think it's 1413 section. In
yes.
other words, you can recoup your investment because you are the one that loaned the money, not the banks.
Yes.
And you can recoup it.
Now, with a personal experience, I can tell you, a federal judge told me over the phone, yeah, but Judge Naidu, there is no private cause of action. So I don't know how to entertain this claim. And I told her, what is the name of the act, Judge Kathleen? What is the name of the act? She said, what do you mean? I said, the act is called the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. If the consumer has no private cause of action, who's going to sue for him? The Attorney General? And the idiot says, oh, can you brief it? I said, I'm not going to brief it. So that'll take 21 days, 60 days for you to answer. And I said, you can say no, and I'll appeal it. How can they say there is no private cause of action? And then we went into the next argument. Oh, I your client is a Cambodian. How did he become a Native American? I tell her, oh, my God, do you have $500, Judge? She says, is this a joke? I said, no, it's not a joke, because you're asking me for legal advice. Anyone can become a Native American. Martinez versus the Santa Pueblo case. I mean, I said I've got tons of cases that talk about a Korean, a Japanese, an illegal alien. Anyone can become an enrolled tribal member because it is the right of the tribes to determine their membership. So what am I getting at? Tribal jurisdiction, native title, that is your key. When you get a job, when you get a loan, when you get your tax exemptions, when you buy a house, insist on your rights. Because if you slumber on your rights, the doctrine of laches comes in, where they say, oh, you never said that in the beginning. Sorry, 3 years has passed. You don't have a right. Look what they do when you have a debt and you declare bankruptcy. After 7 years, it's supposed to drop off your credit report, right? Wrong. On the sixth year, 353rd day, they will sell it to a new collection agency. Because your contract with ABC Bank is over. Now you have a new contract with DEF Collection Agency. See how they skewer you? Welcome to America. What has all this got to do with what we are talking about? It's got everything to do with the findings in Carino. So let's go back to Carino. The 1909 case, and we are into page, let me scroll down, page 3, page 4, page 5.
Page 6.
Yeah,
you said page 7.
Yeah, we are into page 7.
Okay, where it says the court pointed out that the Lage de Los Indies.
Yeah, well, the highlighted yellow section, whatever the law upon these points may be, every presumption is and ought to be against the government in a case like the present. See, in law, we have a thing called presumptions. A presumption is if I am suing you, I'm supposed to be more right because I'm the plaintiff. There is a presumption. Okay, here is something from somebody. What has been changed is you now have to sign a new contract, or there is no contract, okay? I mean, what's that, Drake? Speak up, please.
Okay, well, the... I don't want to contradict what you're saying and all that, but have been working on credit issues, and basically this is the way it works. Today, as of now, your credit report does and is required legally to drop reporting whatever you've had in the past after a certain period of time. Just because somebody buys the new or available debt does not obligate you in any way, shape, or form either to listen to them, have any dealings with them, or for any extension to the debt itself. Okay?
No, I got to contradict that, Drake. I'll tell you why. The original contract you had with the original lender already says that you have agreed for this contract to be assigned. So under the law, common law of assignment, they hide it in the fine print. If you
I
go
understand
and check
what you're
your
saying, but the problem is that some friends of mine took them to court on that issue.
Yeah.
And it no longer applies. Seriously.
State or federal?
Either one.
Well, it makes a difference, you see, whether we are imposing...
Yeah, some people took issue with the bullshit and decided to flush the toilet.
Well, I'd like to look at those cases. If you have any, I would like to look at it, because what makes them do what they do is that when the 7 years is up, I owned a collection agency. I know this. We were collecting casino markers in the late 70s, early 80s. Booming business. I had about 30 of the top collectors skip traces in the country in New York. So what they do is they sell it and they hide behind the law of assignment. So I fought this and said, look, there was no meeting of minds between the contractarian. One guy did not know what he was signing, and during the deposition, the other side did say that, yes, we did not, that question was not asked, we did not explain it. I said, no, that's not my question. I'm asking you whether there was a meeting of minds. So that's how I was able to prevail. But anyway, it's very arguable. Let's see what happens, okay?
Okay.
Bring those cases to me. I know how to reopen the can of worms. All right, coming back to Carino. The law, according to Justice Holmes, was against the government when it came to private ownership, especially revolving around an issue like native title. And in this case, the Igorot so-called savage, grandfather and father owned the land, tilled the land, lived on the land, and did everything on the land, cultivated the land, whatever. Way before the so-called Spanish conquest, and it never had been public land. So that's one of the elements of the decision of Justice Holmes. Now, you take that, grasp that, and ask yourself, can a million of us go and plonk a couple of modular homes in Yellowstone Park? Under the law, yes. Of course, provided you have police power. When you're plonking your house and setting it up and building the sewer line, water line, electricity line, and whatever lines, water lines, you got to have people standing guard to make sure the government doesn't come and terrorize you. So this issue of public land is a legal fiction simply because this involves native title under the Carino, Kramer, and the Hualapai Indians versus the Santa Fe Railroad Company, which you will grasp, read, examine, analyze, research, and study when you're looking at Felix Cohen's original Indian title. Now, let's go to the second part, if not the fifth part, of what the court, the Supreme Court, proceeded to explain. Now, the court went on to say, like they were experts in Spanish law or the laws of Spain, that the case would have been similarly resolved had the case been tried by the laws of Spain. I don't think so. Because, number one, the Crown of Spain I'm on page 7. The court proceeded to explain that the case would have been similarly resolved had the case been tried by the laws of Spain. You see, Spain had insisted that everybody go and register their titles, but they did not make it a law. So how could the law of Spain have been pro-Carino? There's no way they would have done that. But anyway. Now, then, after saying that the case would have been resolved by the laws of Spain the same way, the court now says, by examining the pertinent laws, the court held that we do not discover such clear proof that it was barred by that law as to satisfy us that it does not own the land. 1 minute you claim to know the law of Spain, next minute you claim you do not know. This is like CNN. We do not know why this attack occurred. We do not know who was behind it. We do not know why it happened. We are here to tell you, breaking news, that we do not know. Hey, I do not know. That's breaking news. But I want to talk about it. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. We do not discover such clear proof that it was barred by that Spanish law as to satisfy us that he does not own the land. To begin with, the older decrees and laws cited by the counsel for the plaintiff in error seem to suggest pretty clearly that the natives were recognized as owning some lands, not owing, owning some lands, irrespective of any royal grant. So how can the Supreme Court pretend to understand the law of Spain when it is making a categorical statement here? In other words, it says Spain did not assume to convert all the native inhabitants of the Philippines into trespassers or even tenants at will. So here is the Supreme Court of the United States, instead of issuing a decision, finding a conclusion of law, enunciating the principles of law, is now trying to second guess the laws of Spain. Now, the next part is very, very important for the purposes of the southwest of continental America, Indian country. Now, the Supreme Court pointed out that the Recopilación de Ley de la Indias, which is the body of edicts, decrees, and orders that set out Spain's laws for the colonies, allowed condition of title through prescription, which means they issued land grants and land titles when they met the Apaches, the Navajo, the Hualapai, the Hopi, and the Pueblos in southwest United States. I'm talking Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, thereabouts, okay? So the Spanish government in the United States, or at least in Indian country at that time, allowed confirmation of title through prescription, which means they issued a paper title. And that title was admitted to exist that owed nothing to the power of Spain beyond this recognition in their books. Now, this is the beginning of the end of the torrent system, where a conquering colonial power takes it upon itself to own everything it has conquered. They conquered Indian country by treaties which they broke, breached, Of course, it was first broken by the agents. So, what was in the books was nothing compared to ancient possession being sufficient. Again, they were too afraid to use the word usucapion because they would have dropped dead. So here the court talks about the doctrine of ancient possession, which is very, very, very powerful. Remember what I said yesterday? Usucapio constituta est ut aliqui litium finis esset. Usucapion was instituted that there might be an end of lawsuits. What does that mean? The right of property conferred by lengthened possession was introduced or made law in order that after a certain time, no question should be possible concerning the ownership of property. In other words, even a court of law is not the proper jurisdiction for it to be ascertained or adjudicated, except it be heard in a tribal court under the principles enunciated in Williams versus Lee, 358, United States, 217 of 1959. See, when you memorize this stuff, you grasp this stuff, you understand this stuff, you will be able to appreciate how much entitlement, eligibility you have to your dirt and soil and land. You must know this backwards and forwards so that you're not diving into books and pieces of paper. You must speak as someone who knows. You must speak as someone who understands. You must speak with authority and power. Don't forget the intercontinental ballistic missile on your shoulder as you say this. Page 8, top of the line, top of the first paragraph. The court went on to say, as prescription, even against crown lands, was recognized by the laws of Spain, we see a reason for hesitating to admit the title was recognized in the Philippines in regards to lands over which Spain had only a paper sovereignty. I wonder if Justice Holmes was hitting at the United States paper sovereignty with its treaties, fake laws, and a counterfeit constitution. Next paragraph. The reference to Spanish law was inconsequential, made no difference. Justice Holmes discussed the issue only to clarify that Carino's claim would also prevail had the court resorted to Spanish laws. I doubt it. This part of the discussion was surplusage because the lands claimed by Carino were already held to be private. I'll tell you what the Spanish law would have said. This is still crown land. And crown land means we don't need prescription. We don't have to issue title. If we say so, that's what it's all about. And they would have defeated Carino. Now, in concluding, Justice Holmes wrote, this is the funny part. This is where I started laughing. Law and justice require that the applicant should be granted what he seeks, and he should not be deprived of what? By the practice and belief of those among whom he lived, was his property, through a refined interpretation of an almost forgotten law of Spain. Now, let's look at this in perspective. 3 days ago, in India, there was a human inferno. A 17-year-old juvenile was set free for having masterminded a gang rape of an innocent physiotherapy student. The law says that the time served was sufficient for him to be released. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
The law prescribed that he should be set free. The people's justice was very different from the written law. What was the justice for this girl who died? She was gang raped and thrown off a speeding bus. She landed on her head. Poor kid. So when Justice Holmes talks about law and justice, I am amazed that this man made it to the Supreme Court, because Justice Holmes is famous for having chastised and chided and scolded a lawyer that this is a court of justice. Justice Holmes supposedly, reportedly corrected him and said, young man, this is a court of law. This is not a court of justice. You see, Holmes believed in justice, but he relented towards the written law. He was one of those liberal judges who believed that he was a conservative and that he must obey the written law. Your job is not to obey the law, you idiot. Your job is to interpret the law. See, I got a problem with these fellas. The job of the judiciary, Article 3, is to adjudicate cases and controversies. And Hamilton had already declared the power of judicial review in the Federalist number 78. And in 1803, Chief Justice Marshall had already opined, enunciated, declared, mandated, commanded the power of judicial review in Marbury v. Madison. Never been overruled. And you and I, we've gone through Marbury versus Madison, a stupid decision. But the point I'm trying to make here is judicial review is when the Supreme Court looks at a statute and if it's repugnant to the Constitution, makes it void, declares it void. Understand that. The job of the Supreme Court is to interpret the law and declare what the law is. It cannot change the law. Whose job is it to change the law? Under the doctrine of the separation of powers.
Congress.
Thank you. Their job is to interpret the law, declare the law. They cannot change the law. Understand that. So when this guy talks about law and justice, he's talking through his hat. Now, we're still on page
7, 8.
Let us now go into analyzing the court's decision. Shall we?
Okay.
Good a time as any. First, Carino did not rely on precedent. Ain't that nice? In other words, this was a case of first impression. Holmes said that whatever theories justified claims over discovered lands, the truth was that the conquerors were never able to see, much less secure, most of these areas. So here, he's casting doubt on manifest destiny. Not for the Native American, but for the Filipino Igorot. Okay? The fact that the Igorots had never been assimilated or defeated by the Spaniards must surely have been a substantial consideration. But neither were the Native Americans. So the court said that title will not be extinguished simply because a territory is occupied by an alien force. Now, what was he talking about when he said this?
He was talking about the Americans' manifest destiny moving into...
No. Ray and Tom, don't answer. When the court said that title will not be extinguished simply because a territory is occupied by an alien force, what law was he quoting that was not a law then? Anybody? Come on! I've said this a million times. It had nothing to do with manifest. I just told you 2.35 minutes ago, approximately, that manifest destiny was doubted. What law was Holmes talking about that had not become a law yet? That title will not be extinguished simply because a territory is occupied by an alien force. What law? Come on!
Martial law.
What?
Martial law.
No. What law? What federal statute was he portending? What federal law was he prophesying?
217.
That title will not be extinguished simply because a territory is occupied by an alien force. Come on. You're not been doing your homework. Thank you very much. Who was that?
Gita.
That was Gita.
Gita, thank you, my dear. Yeah. He was talking about 18 U.S.C. 1151, which says, even if a right of way is there, a freeway, a highway, a byway, a ranch, a farm, a hospital, the Pentagon, or the White House, even if a right of way is there, if Indian title is not extinguished, hello, it is Indian country. So Holmes was on the right track.
Marshall Law. Okay, I got that.
He goes on to say that Holmes' language stripped the veneer of nobility that has often been used to justify the dispossession of the Native Americans. The experience in America was exposed as nothing more than ignoble, colossal, capitalist venture meant to take lands at the Indians' expense. And what have they done till today? They took Hawaii, they took Cuba, they took Puerto Rico, they took the Philippines. In Hawaii, they issued an apology. And then the last part of the apology, section 3, says, this apology doesn't mean any of their rights are restored or any of their claims are to be redeemed. Huh? So the whole world knows this was an ignoble, evil, colossal capitalist venture meant to take lands. Sometimes they said, oh, let's buy the land. And one idiot said, yeah, but consideration, I mean, look at Manhattan. Huh? Manhattan in 1673 was bought for $24. Hello? $24. What do you think Manhattan is worth today?
Billions.
Try quadrillions. Now then, the court noted the second obstacles to the United States claim. First, the United States had not asserted a claim over the entire country. We're talking Philippines. The 1902 law extended the Bill of Rights to the territory. What Bill of Rights? American Bill of Rights? United States had stretched its protection, particularly the Due Process Clause, to all the inhabitants of the Philippines. At this point, the court had already characterized the ancestral domain of the Igorots as private. So native land, native title, was no longer considered public land, public property, but private. And the court went on to say, it should be noted that the property here was private, not because of recognition of title by any sovereign. He's talking usucapion. Possession, occupancy equals to ownership. So this land is property. This is private property, not because of recognition of title by any sovereign. Because this was a result of the Igorot's custom and long association and practice and belief, usucapion. Because these were unconquered folk. So the court was guided more by the court's determination to do justice than to apply obscure laws. Earlier he talked about law and justice. Now he talks about, no, we want to do justice. We don't want to apply obscure laws. Sometimes I wonder where these fellows got their training. But they went to the Supreme Court. Frightening, huh? Look who's in the Supreme Court today. We even have a Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, who's the last person who was nominated to the Supreme Court. She was a Solicitor General. You know who a Solicitor General is? Can somebody tell me what the job of a Solicitor General is? Anybody?
To argue cases?
No. All lawyers who go before the Supreme Court argue cases. What is the job of the Solicitor General? Anybody? The Attorney General sues on behalf of the government of the United States. The Solicitor General argues cases on behalf of the United States. In other words, the Solicitor General is the defense counsel when the government is sued. And this woman, Elena Kagan, who was a defense counsel for the government, is on the Supreme Court. Now, whose side do you think she's going to take?
The government side. Well, the government side.
Oh, no, come on. They are independent, you know. She's not like that. Come on. So now, this explains Holmes' refusal to rely upon established doctrines. What the hell was he relying on if he wasn't relying upon established doctrines? Again, he was afraid he'll drop dead if he mentioned Usucapion. So that word is never used. No weight was ever placed upon theories of conquest or alien laws that could not have been known to or understood by a people so removed from the potentate's game of global takeover. As if the Native Americans knew that this encroaching squatter government was going to be taking away every inch of their land and soil. Thus, unlike in North America, the court refused to deprive the Indian of his rights by resorting to the laws of nations within the exclusive sphere of a mere handful of nations. So, executive decisions, legislative acts, executive orders, regulations, rules meant nothing when it came to the ancient doctrine of tribal property, which is sacrosanct and private, not public lands. Surprisingly, why wasn't the Carino case applied to the Native Americans' claims?
The reason, this is Jason, the reason was because the Americans had settled in the United States and they weren't settling in the Philippines. Back to you.
What other reason do you think they didn't want to settle in the Philippines?
Maybe because they didn't like the weather?
What other reason didn't they settle in the Philippines? Because they did not know what?
Language.
If the Americans had known how much of gold there was in the Philippines, the Philippines today will have more white people living there than Filipinos, I guarantee you. But all the gold in the Philippines is controlled by the Muslims. Hello? Hello? So, so the claims by a so-called savage tribe, uncivilized tribe, met and saw the light of day from a Western legal perspective. They found it unfair to refuse recognition of their title, but that was not the case for the Native Americans. Fast forward 1931. The court heard a case called De Palas versus Saito and Madrazo. In that case, the Supreme Court held that the sale of property made by a member of the Bagabo tribe without the approval of the director of the non-Christian tribes was null and void. While the Bagabos retained their land, the decision showed the court was confused about its character. Why were they confused? Anybody? They were confused because they did not know their elbows from their noses. They were confused because 22 years later, They did not know what the issue was in Quirino. But one man, Justice Johnson, the lone dissent, he explained it. This is a beautiful explanation. He said, there is absolutely no analogy between the relations of the non-Christian people of the Philippine Islands to the Philippine government as compared with the relation of the American Indians to the American government. Why? Can someone tell me why?
Because of the excuse we were trying to Christianize them?
Yes. You see, in the Philippines, till today, and a lot of Catholics there, and I've spoken to a lot of them. I maintain a presence there as well in the Philippines. And I was having a beer with a priest one evening. And I asked him, I said, I'm going to ask you a question, Father Francis. I hope you don't mind. He says, oh, no, Judge, I've always respected your questions and it makes me think. I said, do you really believe in God? He started laughing. He actually started laughing. And I said, thank you. That's all I needed to know. So Justice Johnson was trying to make a comparison here that in America, there is a connection between the American Indians and the American government because they brought Christianity to de-savage and to de-uncivilize them, if there is such a word. Whereas in the Philippines, they did not take kindly to the fact that an alien religion is being shoved down my throat. A citizen of the Philippine Islands, whether non-Christian or Christian, has a perfect right. Now here, I want you to... Do you think a citizen has a perfect right to dispose of his private property freely? Anybody?
In America, no, because actually it's stolen property.
Who qualifies as an individual who has the perfect right to dispose of his private property freely without the necessity of securing the consent of the government? Who in America can...
The sovereign.
What is the word I'm looking for, either than sovereign or tribal people?
Indigenous?
A what?
Indigenous people?
Okay, but what's the word I was teaching all of you, which sounds like citizen?
Denizen.
Denizen,
thank
yeah.
You. You see, a citizen is somebody the squatter government wants to qualify as someone entitled to citizenship. I don't want to be a citizen. Remember the 1924 Indian Nationality Act? All Indians shall become citizens. No, thank you. I'm a denizen. I'm a Rolls Royce. Why would I want a Pinto? I don't want one. So change that word, citizen, to denizen. A denizen of the Philippine Islands, whether non-Christian or Christian, has a perfect right to dispose of his private property freely without the necessity of securing the consent of any person in government. Now, the denizen does not need the government permission to freely dispose of his private property. But what law is that denizen breaking when he decides to dispose of his private property? Anybody?
Papillon.
No. What law is he disobeying when he disposes of his private property?
18 U.S. Code 1151?
No.
Okay. Enlighten me.
Leviticus.
Oh, God.
Thank you very much. Always connect the dots. You may be following a law, but you are violating ecclesiastical law.
Oh, God.
You see what he says, whether Christian or non-Christian. In other words, Justice Holmes is saying, forget about the Bible. Yeah, but stupid, you took the oath upon placing your hand on the Bible. No, I did not. I placed a hand on the Constitution.
Constitution is the Word of God.
Yeah. Hundreds and thousands of the non-Christians in the Philippine Islands, the industry and intelligence become the absolute owners of private property. That is the law of the land today. When I bought pieces of land in the Philippines, I went to Carino. I went to the Supreme Court. They looked at me like a dog looking at my motion. They were very silent. They stamped my piece of paper. And I said, I'm going to give the property taxes to the Subaon tribe. And the Supreme Court just said two words, duly noted. So how many of you have got native title to your properties?
None. I mean, I sent my paperwork out, and they don't know what to do with it in Hudson County. They're like, duh, I don't know.
My question is, how many of you have asserted Indian title after the county tax assessor or the county tax ass or the county tax appraiser refused to reply your letter? That's my question. Do it before it's too late.
Okay.
In the United States, the government distributed lands freely to the American Indians and the disposition of the same without the consent of the Secretary of the Interior. Now, when you read original Indian title, you'll notice that the Secretary of the Interior's permission is not required, not necessary, like television on a wedding night. So remember that. All right? The government, having given the Indian his land without cost, it had a perfect right to impose such condition upon the disposition of the same as the government might deem wise. So in other words, in the United States, the government decided, I will give you this land, I'll give you that land. You don't have to worry about nothing. It's free. You took my land and giving it back to me free. Like this great moron, Johnny Depp. Everybody was impressed. He's going to return wounded knee to the Indians. Who the hell are you to buy stolen property and return it to the original owners? What kind of a lawyer does Johnny Depp got? Veterinarian? Yes. Don't know the law? Pretend to know the law? read 2 minutes of the law, and now they're experts in the law. Morons.
Jason, you have a lot of bad noise.
Sorry.
Yeah, mute yourself. Thank you. The dissent's interpretation of the jurisprudence on Native American land rights. Can someone tell me what's the meaning of jurisprudence, please? Anybody?
Well, I forgot.
I would think that jurisprudence has to do with the jurist's ability to follow their edicts or their orders?
Jurisprudence is a philosophy. Jurisdiction is law expression.
Right.
Jurisprudence is the philosophy of law. What is the philosophy of law? There are certain aphorisms like thou shall not steal. Thou shall not kill. Thou shall not cheat. Thou shall not lie. Thou shall not misrepresent. Like the three monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. What about do no evil? They forgot the fourth monkey. So now, the interpretation of the philosophy of law on Native American land rights leaves much to be desired simply because the Carino Doctrine must become faithful to applying it when you are asserting your land rights. Your argument should be, if the United States Supreme Court can decide on native title of a Filipino native, why cannot I apply Carino to assert my claim in the United States, Indian country, United States, using Carino and Kramer and the Hualapai Indians versus the Santa Fe Railroad Company. In one line of authority, one line of reasoning, lands held since time immemorial are recognized as private. It has even been held that subsequent reclassification of land cannot impair the rights of long-term occupants, usucapion. In the other line, public agricultural land become private lands and could therefore be titled. This is if the claimant can show that there has been continuous possession for at least 30 years. Carino has been cited as authority for both. A recent case cited both lines of cases without the court observing any incongruity. This is powerful, powerful, powerful. Pueblo de Santa Rosa versus Fall was another case. So read up the rest of the intel and information on Carino. And remember, Williams versus Lee is a leading case. If you're being sued by a state court for failure to pay your mortgage, come to me. We'll get the Williams versus Lee doctrine squared away. We need to tell the state court, excuse me, you have no rights to so much as even accept the filing of this case. Because anything to do with an Indian and a non-Indian must only be heard in a tribal court. That's a Supreme Court decision, 358 U.S. 217, 1959. So read up.
Okay.
Get ready. Because the fight has not even begun. Okay. Then read up also in the as you go reading into Carino, United States versus Fulad Leo. It was about quiet title to the Palmyra Island in Hawaii. So Carino has exposed the scam of the United States non-recognition of Indian title. Okay?
Nice.
There are lots of cases that support the fact. U.S. versus Mitchell is another interesting case where they talk about Indian title, Supreme Court again. So, I like you to keep original Indian title by Felix S. Cohen in the Minnesota Law Review. Keep that as one of your gold bullets. Keep Williams versus Lee also as your gold bullet. Silver bullet will be Carino. Ex parte Young, where state officials have no right to discuss federal issues. And remember, if you're being sued by a state court, throw in Williams versus Lee, stump them, get away from their jurisdiction, bring it into a tribal jurisdiction. Okay?
Yep.
Read up Williams versus Lee. Joyce, if you're there.
Judge, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so does that mean if White House and the property in which the White House lies on were under Indian title, does that mean we could kick off all the monkeys that were in the house?
Absolutely, because I can tell you, and I've checked this, that where the property sits in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Indian title has never been extinguished. I have checked it. I went to Washington, D.C. I have been to the county, so-called county recorder's office. They don't have evidence that Indian title was extinguished. And so this guy looked at me and said, why do you want this information? Oh, I said, you know, I'm just writing a book and I want to know, you know. He said, well, it's very odd that you asked that question because we have nothing to evidence that Indian title was extinguished. Oh, I said, okay. All right. So there's nothing in your record. He said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing in my record, which means Indian title was not extinguished. So that monkey has been living there free of charge. He didn't pay the Onondaga Indians any rent. And yes, the answer is yes, we can throw these idiots out. They have no right to be there because they don't have title. Anything else, folks?
Gave us lots of work, Judge. We'll do it.
Yeah. So you got the grasping the essentials?
Yes.
And you got the Carino case? You got the original Indian title case?
Right.
And if you're a homeowner, landowner, ranch owner, farm owner, whatever, make sure you insist in getting native title. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for your time and attention, and we will talk soon.
Thank you very much, Judge.
Oh, by the way, when's the next class? Now that, I mean, I have Christmas, wedding anniversaries, birthdays every day. So since Christmas is coming, what are the plans?
We've been, today is the Christmas class.
Oh, okay.
And so we're doing Monday and Tuesday instead of Monday and Friday.
Okay, the rest is just chatter there. This is great. Carino case, Williams and Lee, they're all great cases. Are there any questions or comments you'd like to make? Just press 1. No questions or comments? If no questions and comments, we'll end the show. Thank you.